Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Out Crew podcast, hosted by Luke Sonergy and Harry Higginson. All right, Harry?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. How are you, Luke?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
It's always good. Fun to talk to people.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it?
That's certainly one way to put it. Who's our guest this week then, Luke?
Well, today we're going to be chatting to someone very special. He's a vocalist of one of our favourite UK metal bands at the moment. Located in an unmarked grave somewhere in the necropolis of London, his band's name is Vacuous and his name is Joe Chen.
Nice.
So Joe, let's start with your journey into music. How did you start listening to it and what bands dragged you down screaming into the abyss of extreme metal?
I think like most people, I started off with like Nirvana or adjacent bands, but when you sent me that question, Nirvana was probably the one that felt most relevant, because it was like that mix between like just super catchy but also really neurotic as well in terms of like lyrics and stuff. So I think that's what I really liked at the time. I still like Nirvana. Like, a lot of things don't hold up in terms of like what you listen to as a kid, but I think they're a good band to rep, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Really good band. Love a bit.
I know you like them a lot, Harry.
Yeah, I do. Weirdly, obviously they haven't played a show in a little while.
Oh, why is that?
For obvious reasons, but I... fuck off. But I remember catching a UK band. They're not around anymore. They kind of broke up without me noticing. But I saw Basement a couple of years ago, and they...
Oh, nice.
We managed to... The chant of one more song came up at the end of the show, which never really ever works. But on this one thing, it just so happened to work, and they came back out, and they were like, we don't have any more songs that we can remember how to play. And they just cracked out their warm-up song, which was School by Nirvana. And it was a fantastic song.
Yeah.
And it's like a deep cut off Bleach, and it's such a good track.
No, yeah.
Such a good track. Yeah, great band.
Yeah. I always liked Polly, and then I remember like finding out what the lyrics are about for the first time. I just thought, this is so fucking cool. It's genius.
Oh, yeah, no. I like...
Yeah.
It's a bit like, never mind. I mean... It earns the hype. It's so good. And tracks like Polly are just... really, really good songs.
And, I think, like... I don't know. Like, I guess I was just attracted to, like a lot of kids. Like, what was kind of controversial or shocking. So, like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had the song... the Rape Me song was, like... That's the first time I ever heard that word used in, like, a music context. I was like, that's crazy. And, like... I don't know, if you want to take it to death metal or whatever, like, I remember reading up about, like, I don't know, it was, like, that Californian governor, or he was, like, NWA and Cannibal Corpse are, like, the worst things that young people can listen to. I was, like, sick.
Shit, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So I think, for me, I mainly listen to, like, stuff which is I just like stuff which has got that kind of shock factor, or is a bit, you know, neurotic or whatever. So that could be like any genre, but
that's really cool.
Growing up was mainly it was mainly like rap music, to be honest, because that was the most shocking, I think. Like growing up.
Oh shit, fair.
Depending on like the type you listen to, I think, like 3-6 Mafia, for one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love like the satanic stuff, like the kind of aesthetic, and I just thought it was really cool. Or like Necro, which was all about doing dope and stuff. I showed my friend the I Need Drugs video, and there's like... He's like, I don't like this. And he's like, I was like, why? And he's like, there's someone shooting up in the background of the video. And I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't notice that. No, yeah, that's good, yeah. But yeah, I think...
That's really cool, is that...
Sorry, go on.
How did that, like, translate into getting into death metal?
Me and my friend actually talk about this a lot, about how, like certain parts of rap and hip-hop and death metal and hardcore are like quite linked, I think, especially with, like I said, like, 3-6 Mafia, like, I see my bandmates, Dayfest, Death Metal Dayfest, Necropolis.
That was great.
Oh, you went?
Yeah, I went, yeah, nice. It was a really great day.
Awesome, yeah, it was really good. Yeah, I saw, like, 3 people wearing 3-6 Mafia t-shirts, because, like, I mean, it's, like, if you put the lyrics side by side for some songs, with, like, 3-6 song and, like, any kind of, like, 90s death metal kind of thing, it's, like, they read exactly the same, which is really cool. I guess that's what I like.
That's really cool. Like, I get the similar crossover appeal with I really like Clipping. I don't know whether you've heard of him.
Yeah, I love Clipping.
And, like, that shit's got exactly the same appeal, right? Like, it's just, it's really dark.
Yeah.
Especially some of the more recent stuff has lent more into the horror factor, and I really love it.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
No, yeah, for sure. I'm a huge horror fan as well, so I think, like, anything that used horror samples was just, like, super intriguing to me as well. So, yeah, I think that's my kind of trajectory into death metal, I guess.
That's really cool.
So how would you describe the music you make with Vacuous? And are there any specific albums or artists that influence this?
I think it's all art. I think it doesn't matter what kind of medium it is, but, like, anything kind of, like, sad or violent or taboo or, like, retaliatory, I don't know if that's a word. But I think that inspires us a lot in terms of bands. Autopsy, Dystopia, Corrupted, some pretty big ones for me at least, and I know for the guys as well, and, like, Pissgrave as well, newer bands, Graves End.
Oh yeah.
Pissgrave, great.
Yeah, Cabinet, Ossuary, those are like stuff I have, like, I'm listening to all the time. Despise You as well.
Ah, cool.
Despise You, West Side Horizon's probably one of my favorite albums ever. And I recently got the photography book, which that front cover is pulled from, and I found a signed copy for like 60 quid. So I'm like, that's in my room, and yeah, again, lots of very, like, visceral imagery. But yeah, I mean for me, like, yeah, Vacuous is like, it's mainly motivated by ideas rather than like a sound palette, you know what I mean?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, like, I don't know, the fun part is kind of like being able to explore taboo or, like, uncomfortable topics. I think that's the main thing which, like, makes me want to be a part of the band. So I think early on, like, obviously, again, like, Autopsy and Dystopia were really big influences in terms of, like, the bass level of how we wanted the sound. But as we go on, I think we get a lot of inspiration from art outside of music, like film. Well, for me, especially film and, like, art and photography, I think is super important. I recently watched Aka Ana, which is a really harrowing documentary about prostitution in Japan. That for instance is a good reference. Not the nicest thing to watch.
I do find it really interesting, like, you often think, like, from an external perspective, from a listener perspective, oh, what bands were these people listening to when they wrote this kind of music? And often it's not the, like, influence of deciding to make a certain kind of song isn't just, oh, I've heard this, I want to put an element of this together with this and this. It's more expressing something. I mean, it sounds really obvious now I'm saying it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's more trying to express something that's not necessarily musical through music.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, no, that's really, really cool. That's really cool to hear.
I think, like, I was talking to our bassist yesterday about it, and I was like, you know, if people don't get that from our music, then that's fine. Like, if they just want something, like, they can, like, bop their head to, whatever, or they just they're just getting into death metal or whatever and they just think it's intriguing, then that's cool as well. But like if it also if like it just encourages you to find more stuff, which kind of pushes you into like engage and think about stuff, which I always think is like the more extreme side of art, I think tends to do that for me anyway. So if it pushes people to find more stuff like that, then that's kind of the cool part, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm sure we're just a cookie cutter death metal topic, so like, do you know what I mean? Like it's so subjective.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean, and I think, not that I've made any, I mean, this podcast is one of the first things that I've made mm. and put out into the world. And like, me and Luke have a very specific idea for what we want to try and do with it, but it could also just end up being another podcast. So I kind of relate to you on that level. Like, I really relate to you on like that, that like concern of like, are we doing something profound or important, or is this just more noise? But I think Vacuous is, if people at home haven't listened to Vacuous, go and check out the most recent record, Dreams of Dysphoria, because it is just, I think it's a fantastic record.
Oh, thank you. Thank
it's
you. I do as well.
A nightmare. It's like, yeah, it's like it's a nightmare to listen to, but in the way that the best death metal is.
I think.
And it's really different to your EP Catabasis as well. Yeah. I don't know whether I'm saying that right. I want to talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Harry was just saying, this is also this podcast is also the first thing I've kind of made. But even if it doesn't go anywhere, like I said at the start, it's always fun to talk to people. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But
being in a hole.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got, that was a real mixed bag of influences you just mentioned then. The Autopsy influence didn't surprise me at all. And you've mentioned that before in previous interviews, you got into the band thinking that Vacuous were going to be making crossover thrash in the vein of Power Trip. How did that style shift come about? And are there any remnants of that initial plan left in the band currently? And is it a sound you'd want to incorporate down the line, or maybe in another band?
Probably not. So when you sent me that question, I was laughing because I don't know if we mentioned that in another interview or something like that, but it's a funny story. So there's a punk band in London called Stiff Meds,
mm-hmm.
and they're really great, super fast, kind of like with a lot of influence of like West Coast power violence as well, and mm-hmm. when I was trying to get into bands, probably 3 or 4 years ago, and I didn't really know anyone, he was someone that I don't know. Yeah, I think I just met him through like a Facebook group page or whatever about hardcore or whatever. And he was like, do you want to do this band with this other guy called Michael, who's our current guitarist? And he was like, we'll try and make like death metal and stuff. I was like, sick, yeah, I really like that. And then apparently he was like, apparently he was talking to Michael, and what he said to Michael was, it's probably going to be like thrash and the Power Trip and stuff. But then Michael's stuff was just too sad to sound anything like that. And like, you know, obviously, you know, there's thrash bands which are very important, but it's not my favorite genre. I think it was a mix probably of my drumming being too bad at the time and Michael's riffs being too sad. So we had one rehearsal together, and then he kind of was like, peace. but we're still really good friends with the Stiff Meds guys. I really like them. We just started rehearsing. Me and Michael just started jamming. Started off with just us two, trying to make death metal, death metal adjacent. Dystopia was a band that we kind of bonded over, as well as like, you know, death metal classics. I think Michael came from more black metal background. Basically, to answer your question, I don't think crossover thrash is coming into the Vacuous anytime soon. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but...
Yeah, fair.
There's not enough misery.
Yeah, fair. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I only ask because I'll hold my hands up and say that was a question that, like, that was a question that I came up with. Because I was like, I saw this interview, I was like, oh shit, that's really cool. Vacuous don't sound anything fucking like that. How did they end up doing this?
It would be cool.
I was just really curious.
Yeah. It would have been cooler if we tried to make like crossover thrash and if we described ourselves like that. Cause I need I'm probably being a bit ignorant, but like neurotic sounding crossover thrash, I think that'll be really cool. So if someone wants to make that, they should do it.
Absolutely. On a slightly different topic, you've taken a little bit of time away from Vacuous, mm-hmm. kind of over the first half of 2023.
Yeah.
And it was kind of mentioned on social media that you were having a bit of a rough time with your mental health.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's important just to ask, like, how are you doing now?
Apart from being throwing up this morning, I'm pretty good. but that's not mental health related. That's to do with medication, not agreeing with my bodies. But yeah, I'm doing a lot better than I was a few months ago. So that's good.
That's really good to hear.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, I couldn't walk or speak properly for a few months. I didn't really have a choice to, in terms of like having to postpone shows rather get Cam to fill in or to just be active in it. So I just thought it would be best to just say something on social media.
How did the kind of decision to take a little bit of time away from the band come about, and how did you get Cam involved with kind of filling in for you?
It was pretty once I told the guys, I was like, I can't really, like, it'll take me half an hour to walk 5 minutes down the road, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like, plus with like paranoia and stuff like that, like I had to go on antipsychotics and stuff like that. They already were super supportive and they knew it wasn't feasible. And I think this was just before our show with Wormrot, from Singapore. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, why didn't you ask Cam? Because I don't want you guys to like have to bail, or like if you get another vocalist, then it, you know, it might not be the most ideal situation, but at least you guys will still get to play and have fun, kind of thing. So yeah, we're friends with Cam and all the like North London guys. They're really cool. Atom as well, another great death metal band from up there.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really fun. Harry's really funny. I always try and see like what trouble he's getting into. I think last time we did a show together, he nearly had a fight with the promoter, which was really funny. Or with the venue owner, rather, because he was the promoter. That was funny.
We heard some wild stories about Aiton in our chat with Cam. So if anyone wants to hear any more about what that band gets up to, go and have a listen to that podcast.
I haven't seen them in a while. I don't think I've ever had a conversation with Harry, but I've chatted to a couple of the others in the band, and they're so great live.
They're incredible.
I follow them on social media, so I see like all the antics that they get up to. I think wasn't Harry naked recently?
He usually is at some point, I think. Yeah, but he's cool. Like, even when I was sick as well, he reached out to me as well. I think most of them did.
That's really cool.
Yeah, he was saying, like, he just messaged me the other day saying, like, we were meant to go on a horror movie date and go comic book shopping, which is my favourite things to do, looking for comics and... watching horror movies or disturbing movies, so...
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
No, but, we just asked Cam if he'll be up for it, because we know that he likes the music as well. And, yeah, it's a difficult position to be in, because it's like, you know, you don't... At the end of the day, you don't know the person's, like, part, really, and you just have to, like, improvise, which I'm sure that's what he did. Mm-hmm. But from what I've heard from those shows, that it was really good still, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, we were at
we were both there.
Oh, God. Awesome.
Yeah, you tell the story.
Okay, yeah, we were at that One Rock show, both of us. And then I was at Necropolis, where Cam also... Well, he did two. He did two sets that day, because he did Vacuous
Handball. Gorgon Vomit. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Listener, this is Cam from Gorgon Vomit. If I don't know if he mentioned it, just if you were if you were confused or didn't know. But I'm assuming that you listened to the episode with him on already, so...
Yeah, if you haven't, go back and listen to it. It's a great episode. But yeah, I think, like, that was a really cool thing, because when I went to the... I had listened to your guys' music, but I wasn't necessarily following you guys on Instagram, so when I went to the show, I didn't realise until Cam came out, that it was like, oh, shit. Oh, they've got someone filling in for them on vocals.
It's not an Asian, small, tiny Asian guy.
it's the opposite. And like, yeah. I do think it's really cool that Cam was available to fill in, and I think that speaks a lot to kind of the community of the scene in London. I think we heard Cam talk about that quite a lot, that it's a strong community, and the scene is quite strong at the moment, which is really good to hear.
I think the international community as well, it's like we got a lot of good, like, nice messages from bands from the States and Europe and whatever, so I think that's what's kind of cool about this whole thing. Like, people just become like, Osuaria and Phobophilic played I think last week or something, and and we kind of been like pen pals of the Phobophilic guys, and Osuaria is, like, you know, one of my favorite current death metal bands, so I went. But yeah, it was cool to see them and just talk it up, and yeah, man, it was really nice.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen Phobophilic.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, I've been away for 2 weeks. I don't know if they... I don't live in London anymore. I live near Bristol. And that's where I go to gigs. I missed the Ascended Dead tour, which I was annoyed about. But didn't you guys play that?
Yeah, we played. That was my first show back since December, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah, that leads really nicely into the next question of how good was it to be back on stage? Like, how was that feeling being back performing again?
That was an interesting day, because I had 2 hours sleep and I had gone to, like, I'm kind of learning how to be a barista through a charity called Well Grounded. And so for that charity, we have to, like, go on placement. So I was pretty nervous of that placement. I was actually more nervous of the placement day than performing, because at least I performed before. So I did that. So I had 2 hours sleep. I did that placement, and then I went straight to the show with my little sister. it was like, I think I was like kind of just like really happy, because I was just running on adrenaline. It was. I really enjoyed it. I think the thing that I took away most from it was just like people coming to see me and like being happy that like I'm on stage again. I just felt very grateful, because loads of people have helped me during this recovery. Shout out to Charlie from Crypt of the Wizard, Stan from Holy Mountain, Raph from Seven Doors, and Jamie from Dark Arts Coffee. Yeah, they literally all were helping me like throughout this whole time. So that's something I can... Yeah, I'm just super grateful for that, really.
That's really cool. And it's really good to have you back on your feet as well, and playing shows, because, like, there's a lot of chat about kind of mental health awareness and not very much chat about, like, what actually happens when shit starts to bite and you can't actually do the things that people expect you to do.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool that you and Vacuous have been open about it, because you didn't necessarily need to be. You could just say Joe's away for whatever reason. I think that's really, I think that's really important. I think it's really important, genuinely. It's really cool.
Yeah, for sure. I think, people are shouting outside.
That's all right.
I don't know. I didn't really, I think I've always kind of been open about mental health, I think. And I think vacuous is, there's always like, we knew we didn't want to be like a morbid angel worship band or something like that. You know, we wanted to make music about kind of like human turmoil and suffering and stuff like that. And that obviously includes our own mental health as well.
Yeah.
Which is, I actually think we're all actually pretty like happy people. like I think we're as a band we're quite I don't know how to describe it. We're all kind of a bit nerdy and like we don't really like get wasted or anything at shows and stuff. So we're kind of just in the corner talking about just being nerds about the music or just talking about all the other guys have to suffer from me just talking about whatever film I've seen recently. So yeah.
No, it's always the case that people making the most extreme music are always really chill and really friendly.
I like to think so as well. I like to think so. That being said, though, we rehearsed yesterday, and like at the venue there was other rehearsal rooms. There was like a rap cipher going on in the next room, like an event. And I was like, everyone was super friendly there, and I was like, guys, isn't it weird? Like, when there's like a positive music community, they're all like encouraging one another. I was like, isn't it weird? Like, seeing people who have social skills, like, those guys are funny.
I get you.
Cool.
So part of what we want to do with the pod is give a platform for underrepresented people in alternative music to talk about their experience. We talked with Cam before about diversity in extreme metal and the challenges faced by non-white musicians. Obviously, not every person of colour in metal is going to have the same experience. For the listener, if you didn't know, Joe is Chinese-Malaysian. Joe, you've spoken about feeling more accepted in the extreme metal community than you have in London more broadly growing up in a previous interview that we saw. If you wanted to, could you talk a little bit about the discrimination you face as an Asian person in metal, and what about the metal community you found so important?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, from my personal experience, I don't think people have cared about how I looked or where I'm from. In the metal community, I think outside of that, it's been very different. I mean, like, I remember from young, going to the park and like, people threatening to be like, oh, like, I'll let my dog out on you or something like that. Or just like, I don't know, in school, like people saying dumb shit or, I don't know, bosses or whatever, that kind of shit. But so metal was kind of like, I don't know, I think everyone feels like they're a bit of a outsider or freak in the metal community, which I feel like gives people a bit more empathy, I think. So like people probably won't.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's fucking like assholes everywhere, but from my experience, people won't say anything to my face, so that it is what it is. So I haven't experienced much in the metal community, but I have to really think about it. There's not been like a time where I'm like, oh yeah, I don't want to go to the show because someone there has been racist to me or made me feel uncomfortable. I was just like, I'm about to be in a room full of other fucking losers. Do you know what I mean? No one's really bothered me about that. So I'm pretty grateful, I think.
It's good to hear positive experiences like that.
You said Cam didn't have a positive experience.
No, well, he had some positive experiences, but then he had some very negative experiences.
For sure. I think I know some story. Oh, there was a one time we played with a band and one of the members was very strange around me, and then I realized that they were like either like, I don't know, white power adjacent or whatever. Oh, so later on. Oh, so, but that was kind of more funny because the promoter was this huge black guy as well, which made it even funnier. It was like, this is kind of like, I don't know, I guess, I don't know, racism is kind of like, when you grow older, obviously, you know, it's still horrible and whatever, you know, especially if it's in, like, a workplace or something where it's, like, your fucking life, you know, is your how you get money, whatever, is jeopardized, then that's obviously fucked. But, like, I don't know, people, it is just a low IQ thing at the end of the day. Like, it's just really, it's kind of, sometimes it's just kind of funny. Yeah.
It's your turn to feel unsafe, racist person.
Yeah. I think in the band there's this joke that I am a neo-Nazi. because like sometimes I'll be like, this band is really good, but like I know they're a bit sketchy, but they're still good. Like,
and then, yeah.
And there's like, I remember one time turning to our guitarist and be like, I think this is just before we went on stage in Brighton or something, and I was like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna say we're a white power band on stage. And he was like, please do not say that, please. I don't think people understand your sense of humor. And I was like, but it's obvious that I'm not. But I was like, please let me do it.
Where were you playing the show that night?
I think it was Green Door Store in Brighton.
Okay.
I can't remember who was supporting. I can't remember. I think we might have been headlining or second. I don't know. But yeah, that was fun. Yeah, but no, for the record, I'm not fascist or anything. Stan, who records at Holy Mountain, he told me that someone was like, are the vacuous lyrics fash? And I was like, what the hell? Do people even look at who we are? Like, we have band photos and stuff. Like, it's on the back of the record or whatever. But I think that's kind of funny. No, not a fascist. Yeah. Anti-fascist.
Yeah. That's good. That's good to hear. Boy. Otherwise, we would have to end this interview very quickly.
That would have been a bit awkward. Yeah.
We tried to keep our outlook positive here. #Good vibes only. So, what would you say to people hesitant to get involved in alternative music because of the fear of discrimination?
Yeah, fuck it. Just do it, man. Just do it. People are fucking idiots everywhere. You might as well be in a community where, more times than not, there are people who are cool as hell and who don't care and who have a lot of, you know, they are more or less inclusive, you know, which is cool. And like, if people in your local area are fucking idiots, then yeah, just remember, like, there's like a huge international community. Like, there's so much death metal bands from all over the world, so at the end of the day, people who care about this stuff are dumb, you know. Like, I don't know what to say, but it's just like, I mean, I think when I was younger, especially, I was very worried about, like, oh, will it, because I know it would be like a super, if I go to a show, it would be a super white thing. So I was worried to begin with, but you just learn that no one really cares. No one should care, you know? I think it's a good community to be a part of. There's obviously still loads of problems in it. I mean, but
yeah,
you know, everywhere's got fucking problems, so, you know.
Yeah, literally. There's shitty people everywhere. And I feel like metal, especially extreme metal, has quite an outdated now, but there are some areas that do have like a bad reputation, but I think the fact that you found community in it and haven't experienced quite as much bad shit or are able to laugh at the bad shit is encouraging.
Yeah, for sure. People usually have your back, and like,
yeah,
I was gonna say that was so, I prefer if a band is racist that they're just upfront about it, because that is kind of funny to me. But if it's like they try and hide it, then it makes me a bit more uncomfortable. It's like,
yeah,
just be racist. Don't just be yourself, bro. just discriminate openly.
Yeah, like have you ever seen Inglourious Basterds? I want my Nazis to have swastikas carved into their foreheads so you know who they are.
It's just a lot less mental gymnastics.
Yeah, bro. And like it's always the worst thing where you start following a band or you look for them and then like you follow them on Instagram for a bit, and some of their like story posts are getting really sketch, and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna have to bounce. I'm not sure I'm here for this.
Yeah,
like, at least if you're
upfront, I know who
it.
You're thinking of, Harry. But I'm not gonna say.
Oh, there was another one recently, another band that I used to really like when I was a teenager, who've just come out and been really shit, and I'm like, okay. Glad I stopped listening to you a couple of years ago.
What band is this?
Fuck Transphobia.
We'll tell you after.
We'll mention the other band afterwards, but the band that I'm talking about, because I don't have any like connection to this, was Thy Art Is Murder, and the lead singer of Thy Art Is Murder was saying some pretty transphobic shit.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that. No, I don't listen to them anyways.
Tend to avoid them for other reasons.
Yeah, that's
I
because their music's shit.
I enjoyed them when I was a teenager. I had my little deathcore period. I thought they were fun, I don't care. So it's
yeah, man. I don't know. People are gonna think what they're gonna think, but yeah, just fuck them.
Cool. To circle back to talk about Vacuous a little bit more, because this isn't just a podcast about like talking about the awful shit that people have or haven't experienced. It is also about music.
Why not?
Speaking about Vacuous, is
just soundboard for new death metal ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's all trauma dump in hope that we'll find some good lyrics.
Yeah, it's there somewhere. That's how we do it in Vacuous.
But like, speaking about Vacuous's music, you've mentioned in passing on social media that you guys are going to be recording your second album fairly soon. What are you trying to do on this new record? Because it's just shy of a year since the last one came out.
Yeah.
Which was a bit of a shift from the record before it. So kind of what are you trying to do, and what's it like to be heading back into the studio?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a shift again, really. We've been working on it basically since we finished the first one. I don't know, Michael, who's a machine in terms of writing, he just got straight back into it, because I think he would have gone insane not having anything to do.
sounds so, like me.
Yeah, he's very much he's a bit of a stress addict, I think. He won't mind me saying that, because after he did Necropolis, he was like, I'm not doing this again. And then, like, 2 days later, he was like, guys, guess what? he's already, like, asked, or I won't say what bands, but he's asked some cool bands to play who are coming over.
That's really cool.
Yeah, there's going to be, Necropolis is going to be a big focus, I think, for Michael.
Take my money right now. I don't even need to know who the bands are.
I like to think we got pretty good taste in death metal and death metal adjacent stuff, so I think hopefully people will enjoy it. It's a shift again, I think. With writing, it usually ends up me having this kind of idea, this concept, or like a kind of cluster of things I want to explore, and then that kind of feeds into how Michael will write some of the stuff. And this time around, we've had so much help from Stan from Holy Mountain. If you need to record with anyone, record with Stan. Underneath Crypto the Wizard, he's fucking awesome. He's been super involved in the project. We have a band together as well called Blindness, but we don't get shit done because we're bullshitting in the studio, playing Silent Hill on the PlayStation. we're not very productive, but we should record something soon. In terms of Vacuous, we're recording very soon, I think next month. I think it's definitely gonna be, there's gonna be a lot more left turns on the album. There's a lot more like different influences, I think, from our usual like suspects. It's been a weird one to write, because obviously I've been inactive for most of the year, so I'm kind of playing catch up. in terms of like my contribution to the album, but in terms of musically, I would say like, I don't know, I don't want to say too much. I kind of want people to just to hear it, but it's different for sure, I think.
Okay.
I think either people will be like, this is not it, or they'll think, at least hopefully some of it is pretty cool. But yeah, I'm excited about it.
You're just going to drop some like some fat, clean vocals.
Well, I tried to do that on Dreams of Dysphoria, and I was like, I can't sing. Why am I doing this? I really can't sing.
It was clarinet solo.
Clarinet solo, yeah, exactly. Squidward's instrument of choice. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of don't want to give too much away, but...
Cool. Yeah, don't spoil it. Don't ruin everyone's.
Yeah, don't spoil it. Yeah. No, you're building the hype up. Yeah.
But more in terms of lyrics, I don't think I'll like have the lyrics included this time because I want it to be quite like opaque in terms of the messaging. But there's a lot of horrible things to be said on the album, I think. So have fun.
Oh, I will.
That's what the best death metal is all about.
Yeah, I think as long as people come away from it feeling a bit like, oh no, this is definitely the horrible music, you know, then that's what we, like someone messaged the Instagram being like, this has made my day worse. Listening to your album. I was like, this is so cool.
I sent you that review the other day. I can't remember what the album was, but it was a death metal album. And it was like, this album's like a shit sandwich, and like it was really good, but like it was a positive review. And I was like, only in death metal would you hear that.
What band was it?
I can't remember. It was like, listening to this album is like eating a shit sandwich. And I
was like, that's really cool.
But like, the guy went on to say that it was really good.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm going to see if I can find this.
I'm going to see if I can... I know we've not got much time left, but I'm going to see if I can scroll quickly enough to find it. Because I don't think you linked me it. I think it was just a screenshot.
I sent you a screenshot.
Nah, we'll never know. We'll never know. It'll be lost. Oh. It'll be lost to time.
All the best death metal is either about horrible things or aliens. pick one or the other.
Alien
roll with it.
Are we talking about Alien as in the franchise or like aliens in general?
Well, I'm sure there's bands that have done both, but I was just talking about aliens in general.
Oh, okay. Listen to Xenomorph. That's a great band. Just about the Alien franchise, which is so good.
I absolutely I fucking love the Alien franchise, so I am gonna I'm gonna listen to that.
I've only seen Alien 1 actually.
Oh my god, you're missing out, man. Even the bad ones are kind of good, because they're kind of funny.
Right, just to finish off, are there any bands you'd like to shout out, both within the London scene and beyond?
I was going to mention some of my favourite records I've been listening to. Miscarriage, their LP is great. The band Crawl, their Damned LP is great. Cabinet, another great death metal band.
Is that the one that's just about like cabinets?
I don't know. It's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. If you're into like Portal or stuff like that, then I think you would like it. Leprophiliac are really great from Spain. I've been listening to 42 Doug, ESTG's Last Ones Left. That's a great rap album. Conway the Machines, God Don't Make Mistakes is like my album of last year. So
that's a great record. That's a really
it's
good
so
record.
Good, man. I love all that shit. Also, in terms of shout outs, I'm going to shout out my horror Instagram friends. So if you need like recommendations from people, Horn Blood Fire, Official Disturbing Cinema, and Pervert Pictures on Instagram are really great. If you're bored and you want to feel upset.
Nice, I'll definitely go check those out.
Yeah, but those who I want to shout out for sure. And Crypt of the Wizard and Misako and Oho. All those guys, man. Holy Mountain Studios.
So that's how you say it?
Misako and Oho, yeah.
Okay.
After that, that's probably all we've got time for now. Joey, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
No worries.
Thank you for having me, my pleasure.
And yeah, I would like to invite everyone listening to follow us on Instagram and also Threads, if that fucking platform still exists. I think we have an account on there. At the underscore out underscore crew underscore pod. I did it first time. I don't need to edit myself doing that in again, as I have for the last two podcasts. I'm really good at my job. But yeah, that's it from me. Anything else you guys want to say?
Listen to Vacuous and listen to them again.
Long live horrible music. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
Thanks, guys. All right,
listener, peace. Get home safe.
Yeah.
All right. Peace.